So as I suggested about 5 minutes ago, our gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Listen for God's word. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. It puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Now, with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But he did not speak to them except in parables. But Jesus explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your word comes to us through story, through verse, and through your love poured out for us in Jesus Christ. Be with us now, draw near to us, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I confess that I have never been much of a gardener. With the help of that little tag that comes in the plants you can buy at Lowe's or Home Depot that tell you how much sun, what time of day the plant needs sun, and how much water the plant needs to successfully grow, I have managed to grow a little bit of a garden. I tend to only be successful with perennials. I dig a hole in the ground, I dump in a bunch of water and some fancy dirt, and then I'm done. I step back and I pray that this too shall grow. So see, I can relate to this very casual gardener at the beginning of our first parable for this morning. He's a lot like me. With no rhyme or reason, he scatters seeds. In Greek, it says he throws spores. Then he goes to sleep and wakes up and does it all again, just keeping a little bit of an eye on the ground in the direction of the seeds that were thrown, casting an occasional glance to check on the status, but not lifting a finger until it's time for the harvest. Only then does he spring to action. Because see, he knows the seed will yield fruit. The earth does its thing automatically, the text tells us, needing no real help from human hand until it's harvest time. Barbara Brown Taylor writes this: "And so the kingdom of God is likened to automatic earth, earth that can be trusted to yield its fruit without any cheerleading, without any manure, and without any worry on our part. The seed sprouts and grows, we know not how. Call it agricultural grace." Then Jesus moves on to this next brief parable about the kingdom of God, a familiar one, about a mustard seed yielding the largest shrub around. Something small becomes something large enough that birds nest in its branches. Now, one commentator points out that back in Jesus' day, people might have actually snickered when Jesus told this story. This commentator suggested that milk may have come out of their noses. He goes on to say that where Jesus lived, mustard seeds just grew. They sprang up everywhere, seeming to come from nowhere. Mustard seeds and their plants were nothing special. They did not have the majestic feel of a cedar or an oak. They had more the feel of an invasive plant, that bamboo that grew out of hand and knocked over your fence, the ivy winding up the side of your house that you just can't cut back enough, or those dandelions you can't get out of your lawn. Sure, the seeds had medicinal properties and the branches offered shelter, but this was just a regular old shrub, a nuisance even to some. Mustard seeds yielded no cash crop. The kingdom of God is then likened to something more ordinary, and yet something more able to show up, to take over inch by inch, and eventually to transform a whole landscape. Now, it's interesting that Mark uses these parables to talk about the kingdom of God. Now, see, unlike Matthew or Luke, Mark is economical in his use of parables. He does not have teaching after eloquent teaching as his counterparts do. And as the first gospel that was written, it's interesting to note that none of his predecessors picked up on that first parable, the one of the seed that just grows. One person suggested that perhaps it's a rather boring parable. I didn't. I read it. Yet these are two brief parables Mark uses to describe the kingdom of God. Stories of seeds, some that grow with no help from us, others that are small, ordinary, perhaps even insignificant, but sprout up everywhere, growing large enough to be a sanctuary for the birds of the air. Frankly, it's not even perfectly clear in the text what Jesus is trying to say. The text even acknowledges the mystery that comes from Jesus' parables, saying that Jesus spoke plainly only to the disciples, teaching them in private. Yet if you keep on reading what comes next in Mark's gospel, we would soon find that those who had their secret Bible studies with Jesus were soon adrift on a stormy sea, full of fear, not knowing what to do. The hope and trust underlying these words hasn't sunk in with those disciples yet either. Like us, they trust that the kingdom of God is going to come and that even Jesus is going to usher it in, but they still feel caught in that already but not yet. That moment in history in which we still find ourselves thousands of years later. And they had Jesus right there in the flesh. Yet these parables invite us to imagine a kingdom of God, not a place with a palace, but a state of mind, a quality of love, a way of living together that bears witness to God's will and goodness and abundance and mercy. And this kingdom comes by the grace of God. It gets here without us having to lift a finger. We don't have to till soil or pull out a watering can. The smallest seeds reaches up, spreads out, creating a haven of safety for all of God's creatures. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like good news to me. In the wake of recent headlines about our nation's enactment of inhumane policy, separating children from parents who cross the border illegally seeking asylum, I need the reassurance that the powers and principalities of this world will not have a final say. I need to know that the reign of God is going to come creeping in with the tenacity of an invasive weed and reshape the landscape of our world. And I need to trust that even the smallest seed of good is going to catch hold, that decency and compassion and creativity and love are going to flourish, and that the fruits of this seed, that they're going to benefit those who are in need of rest. I trust this to be so. Because see, it's the same Jesus who went on to say that if God took care of the birds of the air, won't that same God take care of us? And I'm pretty sure that by us, Jesus was not talking about 21st century American bored citizens. I'm pretty sure Jesus was not talking about Christians, and I'm certainly sure Jesus was not talking about anyone who had any upper hand. If even one report of a nursing baby being taken from their mother's arm, or one report of a parent who was told their child was going to be taken to be washed up, only to have that child removed from their custody. Or one report of a teenager sleeping behind a chain-linked fence caught in a cage is true. If even one of those reports is true, then I am certain that the policy in question and its enactment is not what God would envision as righteousness in God's kingdom, in spite of Attorney General Sessions' misuse of Scripture. Now, I am grateful for the reminder that God's promised reign will come. And I'm grateful for the assurance that God is already at work, nurturing even dormant seed, preparing to bear fruit in God's time. I find cause to hope in a text that gives us two stories of God's providential care and in God's ability to make a big, beautiful deal about nothing much. And I find cause to hope even now that the seeds of God's kingdom are already here. The Gospels, in fact, assure us that the kingdom of God is already at hand through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, right here with us. And so we, like the one who scatters seed, needs to keep our eyes open, looking for God's kingdom breaking in, not only around us, but within us and through us. So rather than sitting back and waiting for everything to work out in the end, our charge today is this: to look. To look around and see signs of God's kingdom in our midst. To ask, where is a seed of faith or hope or righteousness or justice or peace sprouting up in your life or your community? Friends, what small mustard seed of offering do you bring before God that God might bless and nurture and through you and through us bear fruit, so that all of God's people, no matter how least and lost and lowly, might know the reach of God's amazing, abundant love, God's welcome, God's justice, and God's peace? Because see, whether it's a mustard seed we're talking about, or whether it's us, our most meager of gifts even, God has a way of making a big and beautiful and holy deal about nothing much. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us come before God with our prayers of intercession, at the end of which we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father and Mother, you who created all things and who promises us an eternal realm of peace, draw near. Hear our prayers of intercession for ourselves and for our world. We begin by praying for peace. Eternal God, you sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ, to break down the walls of hostility that divide us. Send peace to every place where greed, pride, and anger turn nation against nation, race against race, faith community against faith community, neighbor against neighbor. Let us find ways to come together and not pull apart. Let us find ways to live into the true values of the gospel, values that keep families together and abhors the thought of separation of children from their parents. Let us honor this Father's Day by being loving parents after your example, sharing with those in need your love and care for all creation. We pray for the Church Universal. Mighty God, be with congregations of faith here and around the world. Allow them to gather freely and pray openly, learn actively, and live your gospel completely. Be with our Presbyterian Church USA denomination and its General Assembly meeting now in St. Louis. By your Spirit, Lord, make us all one body, one Christ, one communion of faith. We pray for the earth, and for us as stewards of your creation. Lord, you made all things in your image and by your love. So grant us renewed reverence for the wonder of this place, this planet, the caring Mother Earth upon whom we are totally dependent for our food, water, sustenance, and safety. We thank you this day for expressions of solidarity and justice, particularly those exhibited at last week's Pride events. During that weekend, prayer ribbons were written and given to us on the screens here in the sanctuary and in the building. So, Lord, hear those prayers. Listen to the words. Read the sentiments on those ribbons. May we ever welcome all your children into our common ministry. And on this day, we pray for those who are in pain in body or in spirit. Merciful God, you know the pain of the world, so look with compassion on those who are sick, who are in sorrow, who battle with depression or anxiety or any sense of uncertainty in these troubled times. We pray this day especially for Garland Hawkins, for the Eggleston, Krieger, Dice, and Hickman families, for Tim Benedict's brother Mark, for Richard Depperman, for Crystal and Gail, Lee, Pat, Kate, and all those on our heart this day. Show them your living hope through your gospel words and bring healing as a sign of your eternal grace. And finally, O Lord, we pray for families and friends, for this church community and neighbors near and far. On this Father's Day, we remember fathers biological and spiritual, both living and deceased, those who served as teachers and providers, supporters, mentors, and friends, whom we remember with affection this day. Receive all of these prayers into your hands of grace, for they're offered in the name of Jesus Christ, who died and rose and who lives and reigns with us and for us, and who's taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.